And welcome to another edition of Odyssey. I'm your host, Mike Schultz. We talk about ancient mysteries, modern mysteries, and all facets of metaphysics. So recently I went to the Portland Body, Mind, and Spirit Expo, and they have these conventions all around the country. I highly recommend that you go to them. I saw a dynamic speaker. Her name is Sandra Hurlbut, and she talks about how to harness the power and the energy of the universe and have it work for you instead of against you. So welcome to the show, Sandra.
Well, thank you very much, Mike. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you so much. Sorry, I tripped on your name a bit there.
That's okay. That's a common occurrence.
Okay, great. So I kind of heard bits and pieces of your life story at this seminar, and I gather when you were younger, you were kind of bucking the tide and working against the universe. Why don't you talk about your early years?
Well, I think for most of us, as we kind of start out, we are just subject to the programming that we're delivered in our families and in our educational institutions, and the government certainly plays a role in all that. And so I didn't really have a sense of anything bigger than what I was really exposed to. And I was brought up in a small town in upstate New York. So, it really wasn't until I had an epiphany one day and I realized there has to be something more than this.
Sure.
And, what I really started to do, like some spiritual soul searching, and got into a lot of different things. I practiced Buddhism for like 20 years and did a stint with some Korean Taoist masters for several years, and really learned a lot. Of course, I had a period of Christianity, too, because that was pretty much the norm when you're growing up in a rural community.
Right, yeah, absolutely. And then I know you lived in Boston for many years and then journeyed to Arizona, is that correct?
Yes, I lived in Boston for the last 23 years, and then a couple years ago I got guided to move out to Prescott, Arizona. I thought it was going to be Sedona because I had done a lot of training in the Sedona area, and every time I went there, I felt like this very strong connection, and ultimately that was really what prompted my move. I just knew I needed to come out here, and as I checked into the hotel in Sedona looking for housing in the area for the next month that I was coming out, I kept hearing Prescott, and not quite knowing where Prescott, Arizona was, I kind of tuned in and decided that I would follow this guidance, and Prescott, Arizona is about an hour and a half away from Sedona, and I made the journey the next day to go check it out, and just basically had a lot of synchronicities happen that made it pretty sure that I needed to move to Prescott as opposed to Sedona.
And we all want to tap into this inner wisdom, and isn't it true that this inner voice is kind of repetitive when you're supposed to do something? It's not just like a one-time thought, correct?
No, it's not usually just a one-time thought. Often you're going to see it in different ways, and there's many different forms of intuition. We all have, a lot of innate intuition, and most of us have kind of tuned it out after, being exposed to different things in our culture. But we all have, there's four basic ones that I usually talk about. One is clairvoyance, which is the ability to see things that maybe other people don't see. And you can do that in a couple ways. Either you literally do see things, or, you can see them with your mind's eyes, with your eyes closed. You can have visions and things. There's also the clairaudience, which is where you would get those verbal messages. And a lot of times they'll come in your own voice, so sometimes you're not really, you're thinking you're hearing voices in your head. And often when I was first working on my clairaudience, I would start asking questions of my angels or my guides or whatever, and a lot of times I would get confirmation of the answer because the answer would come in before the question was fully asked.
Okay.
So for me, I knew that was the guidance that I was receiving, and so that was a helpful way for me to differentiate that between just what my mind's thoughts were.
I see. So you're pretty tuned into your inner voice at all times, would you say?
Not at all times, because,
okay,
when you get the busy mind, I have a very active mind, and when I kind of get caught up in the busyness of the day, I can lose sight of what my guides and guidance is. So it kind of depends. You really kind of have to listen for it, and it can come to you in a number of different ways, and, in terms of other intuitive devices like clairsentience, feeling things and just having those inner knowings, the claircognizance, all these intuitive abilities that we have. So, they'll talk to you, your guidance, you'll get your guidance in many different ways. It's not just one way. Unfortunately, the clairaudience, I think, has been kind of marginalized the most because it's so easy to make fun of people who hear voices in their heads kind of thing.
Sure.
And it's a very, very powerful form of communication. And the one thing that I would stress to people who are really starting to experience this is that, if you're hearing any kind of voice that is derogatory or telling you to do something, you know, in your favor that might not benefit somebody else, then you're not really getting guidance from source, from God's source, because all the guidance that we get from the divine, you know, through God or through the angels or through our spirit guides, is always going to come through in a very loving manner to us. It's never going to come through in any kind of negativity. And even our strong messages, where we might need that little kick,
yeah,
so to speak,
yeah,
will come through in a very loving and strong way.
So it won't be like The Exorcist.
No, it won't be like The Exorcist. No, not at all.
Okay, great. Now, also, I mean, what if somebody comes up to you and says something, you know, or you see like a bird or an animal or a symbol? I mean, our environment could also give us clues, correct?
Absolutely. And we were actually, my friend and I were just talking about that the other day, because we had saw this beautiful red-tailed hawk. And, you know, the animals are certainly messengers for us as well. And so we went back, and I'm not really attuned to the animal messages per se, but there are a number of really great books. One is called Animal Speaks. And, you know, so if you do go out in the wilderness and maybe you see a fox and then you see another fox later on, or you're getting auditory messages about a fox, there could be something about that animal for you that you might want to investigate. There might be some kind of message there.
Symbolic.
They also have, you know, medicine cards and animal cards out now. So if you're more tuned in with, like, the nature elements and animals are making a strong appearance, then that would be a way for you to tap into that.
Okay, now, how about helping people make sense of their dreams? And which ones are just kind of like the mind processing images, and which are like important messages?
Well, I think all dreams can be an important message for us. It kind of depends on how you want to interpret them. And I think one of the ways it's always worked for me is if you can remember them right off the bat and begin to write them down, you know, you don't have to write it down like word for word, but, you know, get the big picture pieces of your dreams. And then if you can take a step back and look at them symbolically, there's a lot of information, because everything, like the language of the soul, and I include our dream time, because that's really, you know, when we're able to connect with the other side again, going back and getting that information. The language of the soul is metaphoric, and so everything is symbolic. And so you may have reoccurring images. Like, sometimes I'll have a reoccurring image of, like, a train, and either I'm taking over the train or I'm falling off the train. And when I kind of analyzed that, what I realized, it was about the train was like my potential moving forward. And either I was, you know, on top of that potential, or I was just not in alignment with it and therefore, you know, kind of falling off of it. So, and there's ways that you can kind of tap into the characters that show up in your dreams and talk to them. I mean, you can actually do, like, lucid dreaming.
Sure.
And get back in touch with that particular character that may have come through. A lot of times, you know, we have these people that feel like we know who they are in our dreams, but we've never met them before. And sometimes they actually represent different parts of our bodies or different aspects of our personality that we might want to look at.
Okay.
So if you do, like, a lucid dream state and go in and, like, you know, bring that, you know, ask that character to come forward and then talk to them and kind of interview them almost, you can also get information from that character about what was unfolding in that dream for you.
Okay, and those maybe 5 minutes when you first wake up, aren't those really good times to kind of visualize and kind of think about what you want or set the tone for the day?
I wouldn't limit to just that time, though. I mean, a lot of times, you know, I know people who will get up and kind of sit on the edge of their bed, and I have a couple friends of mine who just tune in and tap in and just say that they're, you know, ready for service as of now, you know, and that's their morning connection time. It doesn't really work that well for me. You know, I think it's an individualized thing. I do like to take time in the morning, but usually it's after I shower and stuff and, you know, feel more centered.
Okay, why don't we pause for a moment here? You have a very dynamic practice and seminars. So why don't you tell me a little bit about your websites and your services?
Well, I do kind of a variety of things. Spirit's changing my goals going forward now, but what I have done in the past is I offer a wide variety of classes, everything from unique healing modalities. I offer an angelic healing class, which is based upon the vibration of the alphabet and sound, so it's a sound healing method that includes symbols. And what the nature of that particular form of angelic healing is that it basically attunes the alphabet. So, like, every thought that you say, every letter that you write, every word that you speak has this healing element to it after you take this particular class. It's a very powerful communication type of healing system. So that's one thing that I teach. I teach another healing modality called Kuan Yin Magnified Healing, which I feel personally is more of an ascension technique. It's helping people to raise their vibration and helping them to transition to kind of higher, I would call higher realms of awareness. I also do a lot of different classes on pretty much, you name it, everything from chakras and meditation to higher consciousness and different things like that.
Okay, and what's the website?
I have a couple different websites. The one that they're both basically being worked on.
Okay.
One is www.spiritearthhealing.com, www.spiritearthhealing.com, and the other one is basically my name, which is www.sandrahurlbut.com.
Great, and we'll give those out later in the show, too. Let me ask you a question that's been on my mind lately. About for the last 6 months, when I flip on the radio and the news, they tell us that the economy is crashing and that we're in a recession. So how do we counteract that right at that moment? Because it's almost like they're manifesting it.
Well, we're actually all really manifesting it because we're all kind of part of it. But I think your point is well taken, is how do we not let that stuff interfere with what we're trying to create? And one of the ways that really works for me is I just don't listen to anything that they say. I don't watch TV, and I just kind of tune that whole thing out there, because there really is a lot of fear-based information. And if you look at kind of the behind the scenes and what's really driving a lot of that stuff, is you have lots of people in positions of power with lots of money who have a vested interest, in my belief, in disempowering people as opposed to really helping people gain the wisdom and the knowledge of who they are. Because in my belief system, you know, we do create ourselves, and we are manifestations of God. We are in alignment with God. And by having all this misinformation, disinformation, and disempowering stuff out there, we're not coming into alignment with what our true nature is. Because in our true nature, we can create absolutely anything that we want. But we've been so programmed and conditioned by all these outside institutions, as well as our families, that we kind of lost sight of who we really are. And so now is the time of, you know, what they call Great Awakening, right? We hear that a lot.
Sure.
And we're all starting to really realize who we are and understand that we do have the ability to create a reality. And so we're all kind of, you know, struggling and stepping along those paths to really open up our skills, open up our innate intuitive gifts, and really understand how to tap into the abundance that's within the universe, as opposed to, you know, these limiting beliefs that are on the radio and the media and all that kind of stuff.
So just say no.
Yeah, basically just say no. But you also, it's actually more than that, though, because, you know, if you've got, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years of that programming within you,
uh-huh.
you really need to start taking a look at your own belief systems, because your belief systems are probably limited. If you're living that 9-to-5 job system, and it's all that you know, and now, you know, all this new information is coming in, then you need to kind of get rid of some of those old beliefs.
Yeah, real purging and cleansing, and I guess that's where a lot of Reiki and energy work comes in, huh?
Yeah, I mean, different forms of energy work. Reiki is certainly one of the ones that most people know of. I kind of call it energy healing 101. To me, it's very much like a warm, fuzzy blanket. I like Reiki. I don't do a lot of work with Reiki, per se.
Uh-huh.
My healing ability is a little bit different than that. And I, you know, kind of a master healer in many modalities. But what happens really is you kind of tap into your own healing gifts is that it really becomes your own, and you don't really follow a system. And that's pretty much where mine is at this point, is, you know, I've done healing so long that it's really a very unique form. It's really whatever spirit wants it to be, and it always changes. So every time I do a new healing with another person, it always seems like there's some different thing that manifests, because, you know, let's face it, each one of us is an individual person. So when we're connecting those energies, when I'm doing a healing on someone and we're connecting those energies, then it would make sense that that experience would be unique for that person.
So very fluid. Okay, now we're going to talk about The Secret, okay? best-selling book. What I'm getting in the metaphysical community is a lot of us intellectually, we get it. We understand the concept of how to visualize what we want. But a lot of us are still not able to accomplish our goals. So is there something missing? Is there more you can elaborate on The Secret, perhaps?
Yeah, I have a little bit of a bias about The Secret. I think it's been great that it's been out there, because it certainly has introduced a lot of people to the concept of, you know, creating your own reality. And, you know, receiving what you ask for and that kind of stuff. But I think they leave out a very important part, and that part is where you start to do, like, your inner healing work. Because as I just was mentioning, you know, if we all have these limiting belief systems, and those things are often unconscious, you know, I don't care how much you ask and you visualize, if those things are in the way on an energetic basis, you're not going to be able to manifest as fluidly, or you'll manifest just the opposite. And there's the way I talk about it with, like, my students is the basic principle is that all thought creates, and that's the whole asking part. You're thinking of something, and so you want it, you want the specific thing. So let me just, if I can give you an example,
sure,
would that work? So let's say that your thought is, I would really love to have a new car. Okay?
Okay.
Sounds very practical, right? I'd love to have a new car.
Uh-huh.
But we create from our emotions, and there's really only two emotions. It's the emotion of love and the emotion of fear.
Fear, yeah.
And most, again, we're not taught that. And ultimately, our feelings are what manifest our creation. So let's say, again, we have this thought, we would love to have a new car, but we have this underlying anxiety about that because, you know, maybe our first car that we had that was brand new had a scratch on it, or maybe we couldn't make our car payments and the car got repossessed, or you had an accident with it, or whatever it is.
Okay.
And that stuff may be so subconscious or so inconsequential that you've never looked at it again after you got the next car, that it could just be waiting there to throw off your vibration, because, again, everything is energy. And if your vibration is thrown off, you're not going to be manifesting from the place of love. You're going to be drawn over into a place of fear because you have those unconscious beliefs.
Okay, so how do you get to that kind of sticking point that's blocking you emotionally? Like,
well,
the car that had a scratch in it.
Their beginning process is really good. I mean, you think about it, you know, in their case, they say ask. I would use the word or the terms a little bit differently. I'd say, you know, you come up with your thought, whatever it is that you want to manifest.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go into the beingness of what you want to manifest. And that is literally becoming it. So there's a great story that Greg Braden talks about his friend David, who's a Native American, and they're, you know, Greg lives in New Mexico, and it's very dry, and, you know, they were having a very hard time not having enough rain, and so David asked him to go out, they were going to go pray rain,
uh-huh.
And so they decided to do this, and they went out to a very sacred spot in this medicine wheel, and David took off his shoes and got into the medicine wheel, and, you know, started to do this process. He was connecting with and praying for rain.
Okay.
And so it only took a few minutes, and then he got out of the medicine wheel, and Greg was like, well, you're done already? And he said, yeah. And Greg said, well, I thought you were going to pray for rain. And then David corrected him and said, no, I said I was going to pray rain. And the point that he was making is that he literally became the rain. I mean, he could feel the rain. He could feel his toes digging into the mud. He could sense the smell of the rain. And he became it. And when you have that visualization that strong, it's really more of a knowing. It's a being with the energy. And when that happens, you'll have a physical shift in your body, and you'll know it'll manifest. What happens with a lot of people is they may get through that point where they get to the point of beingness, and they let it go to the universe, you know, and let it out for the universe to manifest.
Right.
But then they bring it back to themselves because they start worrying about it again.
Oh, you got
to
let it go, then.
You got to let it go, and you have to offer it with gratitude.
Oh.
And that's very important, because as soon as you start thinking about it again or dwelling on it, which is a human tendency that we all have because we've been, again, conditioned to do that,
yes,
we bring the problem back into our life because we're not really letting it go. We're not really believing that, in their words, believing that it will manifest because we're making it ours again.
So with this whole example of the car, would it be like actually feeling like you're driving it? Like,
yeah, that's one way to do it. But it's a deeper level. It's more of a knowing. For me, I'd like to talk about it in more of a knowing. They talk about it in terms of visualization and getting in it and feeling
uh-huh.
it. That's one level. The next level is really that knowing that, you know, it's done. It's basically it's done and it's
oh.
over with.
Oh.
And you just turn it over at that point and it's complete.
Okay, so you do like a little maybe a workshop meditation in the morning and just kind of manifest like a thought bubble and then just release it? Is that kind of?
No, I wouldn't say that I do that. My morning meditations are usually kind of tuning in and looking at other things. There's not a lot of stuff that I really intentionally try to manifest, I would say, at this point. Most of my work now is just being in alignment with what God Source wants me to do, and that keeps me busy enough.
Okay.
Just trying to stay in alignment with
oh.
that. Because once you get to that level of spirituality and tapping into, then you just kind of know that you're living a life of abundance and everything that you need will come. and you don't have to make it like a big process per se.
Okay, and as far as The Secret, I noticed the second book they put out was really just a blank, empty diary where you write down gratitude. So do you talk about like maybe a gratitude list or just kind of observing what's around you that you love and that kind of
thing? You know, I think gratitude is important, but I think an upper level form of that is actually appreciation, because gratitude is almost like saying, I'm thankful for this because I didn't think I could get it. Whereas appreciation is again, it's that state of being. It's that state of really feeling that love and appreciation for what was happening or what was made manifest. It's a different feeling if you can actually, you know, sit back and think about how they define gratitude versus appreciation. I think that's good. I think a lot of the stuff that they're trying to put out there is getting people to reprogram their thoughts, and there's many, many different ways of doing it. Certainly with gratitude, you know, you're shifting your vibration because, again, everything is energy, and we're trying to get people out of fear, which we've been conditioned to live in. I mean, all you have to do is turn on the evening news, and what do they tell you? They tell you about the murders, the rapes, the car accidents, the crimes, the, you know, the all that stuff. Uh-huh. And then in between the segments, they have commercials for Prozac. You know,
sell you things you may not need. Yeah. Okay.
What's that?
Just sell you things you may not need.
Yeah, exactly. And so they try to keep us in fear. And in reality, what we need to be is in this place of unconditional love. And getting there, a lot of these exercises, like the gratitude book, and you know, working with affirmations and all that stuff, is to help shift our vibration. It's to help get us out of that, you know, state of fear and start empowering us more so that we can move into the direction of that unconditional love of which all things are manifest and you're in alignment with who you really are, what you're meant to do, and all things that you need will come to them.
Absolutely. Now let me ask you, a lot of my friends have practices such as tarot reading or Reiki or massage or whatever, and they're feeling like they're not getting enough clients or that they may have to go get a day job. You know, they're just stuck and nervous and scared. Like, how can you manifest a clientele?
Well, that kind of begins, you know, going back to the limiting belief systems, especially for healers. I'll talk more about healers because the other two are a little bit different. The healing community, I think, is really fraught with poverty consciousness, what I would call poverty consciousness, because, you know, a lot of us come from, like, these Christian roots. And in the Christian belief system, there is, like, we're supposed to be, you know, Jesus did all this healing for free.
Right.
And then, you know, we're supposed to be tithing and kind of giving everything away and, you know, service to others and before yourself and all those kinds of concepts. So I think, you know, what a lot of folks in the healing community need to do is to work through that whole poverty consciousness piece and eliminate that. And I see it here a lot, too, there's a number of different things, and also you need to kind of be clear on what exactly and why you got into healing, because a lot of people get into healing thinking that they're going to make money,
okay,
or they make it about the money. And as soon as you make it about the money, whether making it or not making it, it's about the money, and it's not about being of service.
So it's
a different intention that's being put out into the universe, and so you really need to kind of go within and find out, you know, what you're really trying to do. Because if it's about the money, it's always going to be about the money one way or the other, and it's not going to be about being of service. That might be secondary. So I think the first thing is to ask yourself, honestly, you know, why are you really doing this? And if it comes back that, you know, absolutely I'm doing this because, you know, I want to be of service, then you need to look at these limiting belief systems that you may have brought forward from your earlier childhood that are affecting you.
Okay, so a lot of us grew up, Kristen, with kind of this mentality of give it all away and just wander the wilderness and like the ministry, you know, that we all grew up, you know, learning about.
Yeah, that rich is bad, and you know, money is the root of all evil and all that kind of stuff. I mean, those things, even though we may be on the spiritual path and we may logically know better, subconsciously, again, a lot of this stuff is energetically hooked in us because, you know, as I've been saying, everything is energy. And what happens is we have, you know, emotional and physical traumas and experiences in our life that get stuck energetically. So if you had a parent or somebody that's told you that, you know, money doesn't grow on trees, or, you know, it's the root of all evil, or, you know, whatever it is, that is stuck in your system often, and you don't even realize it because it's been so long ago that you haven't looked at it again. But if you're not moving forward, if spirit has told you to go forward and to do this healing and you know, you also need to understand what abundance and prosperity is, too, because it may come to you in other forms. Often, the problem is that we have expectations on how it's supposed to come to us. And when we have those expectations and they're not met, then we kind of step on our own hose of happiness because spirit could have so much more for us, but we're blocking the flow.
So how would you get rid of something you were told when you were 5 years old then?
Well, basically the way that I do it is in a number of different ways. One of the most powerful techniques that I use is this whole concept of using mirrors. If you believe that we are creators of our own reality and that there's really only one of us here, which is what all the ancient mystics have told us, and if you understand that the universe that we live in, particularly our world that we live in, is holographic in nature, and that everything mirrors everything else, then you can use this principle to take a look at yourself by watching what's happening around you with others. So, for example, if you get yourself into a pattern and you ask yourself, well, why do I keep doing this? Or why do these people keep coming to me? I keep attracting this type of person into my life. And it triggers you on an emotional level so that you get upset or there's something that bothers you about that situation. That is an excellent opportunity for you to get the lesson of what that healing entails. So you work with these concepts, so whenever you see anything that triggers you, it's an opportunity for you to get into what I call your observational mindset and take a step back and ask yourself a number of questions. First of all, you know, where am I currently doing that which I'm just being triggered about? So let's say it's something that's that you feel is inconsiderate. You know, so where am I currently doing something that's inconsiderate to others?
Wow.
That would be like the first question that you would ask.
Okay.
And you would step back. You got to get out of your ego. You don't want to do this when you're upset and triggered because you're going to have biased information. You need to get out of your ego mind and get into your higher self, really, you know, and you need to process this stuff. And often what will happen, I mean, I have this whole series of questions that I go through. I mean, this whole concept I, you know, teach in like several days, so we can't do justice to it on the radio. But what happens is when you get out of the way, you can see what this pattern is really reflecting you. And often when you tap into that, you'll go back to a memory that's almost frozen in time that is something that needs to be healed, that there's such a strong energy pull right there that it's affecting you on a vibrational level, and you're drawing these people into your life, or you're drawing that situation back into your life. You know, if you're someone who's a chronic speeder, you'd be drawing the police back into your life all the time. Or if, you know, you're just the person who attracts bad relationships, it's that kind of thing. And, you know, when you learn to use these laws and learn to understand how the universe works, then you can begin to clear those things out.
So you're saying by asking yourself all these insightful questions, it reveals like a frozen memory or something where like you were inconsiderate or something, or where you know, created bad karma, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily call it bad karma because I don't believe that bad karma kind of exists, so to speak. I think that we all, and everything to me is energy, and yes, when we put certain things out, we'll get other things back. But I think it's all part of the universe. The universe needs balance. You know, we live in this universe of duality, and if you just think about that concept, you know, what does dual mean? It means two, right? So we have, you know, a positive pole and we have a negative pole, and we need to have balance. So there is that good-bad, so to speak, relationship. But in reality, it's all exactly perfect in what we need. And yes, you know, when we draw these things into our lives, if we have these patterns again, because I think everybody around us could see that we certainly have patterns. I mean, we have patterns in terms of the people that we bring into our lives. And, you know, if those people aren't working for us or if you keep drawing something that's not good, then, yeah, often you can, you know, ask yourself this series of questions and then step back and you will be led to in a memory, often like a frozen, the way I would describe it is like a frozen memory in time, and it'll go back and you'll just know, like, it was related to that. And then you go through a process of where you accept that it happened, you know, because it did happen. There's nothing you can change it, whether it was yesterday or 20 years ago. It's something that happened. There's nothing you can do about it.
Okay.
So you accept it, and then you allow the energies to pass through you, you know, because it's that energetic pull that's drawing, that's attracting those other events to you. So you allow it to kind of wash through you, like almost like when you go into a meditative state and your mind is filled with all those thoughts, and you just kind of step back and allow them to wash through you. So you allow them to wash through you.
Do you ask for forgiveness?
Or kind of I'm not a big person on forgiveness because I don't think there's really anything to forgive.
Okay.
I think that, You know, we've all come here, you know, under certain soul agreements, and, you know, there are people who play roles for us, and, you know, whether or not we perceive in duality that role as a bad person, I think it's something that on a higher level we chose to experience to make us more whole or to help us fulfill our own dreams here. You know, there isn't, I don't think there's any person on our planet who hasn't had, you know, a traumatic or dramatic thing happen to us where at the time it was such a tragedy that, you know, we couldn't see any benefit from it. But, you know, years or even months later, we could turn around and look at it as like this incredible healing gift.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So let's play out a real life example, okay, because something's really springing to my mind. I would say the last six or seven places I've lived, I have drawn noisy neighbors. Okay? Heavy metal musicians, barking dogs, a guy who did metal sculpture with drills. You name it. Okay? Now, let's play this out. Why am I attracting this?
Okay. Well, now what is it about the noise that really bothers you?
Okay, I've thought about this whole week. It's annoying and it's inconsiderate.
Okay, so it's annoying and inconsiderate.
Bothers my concentration, yes.
Okay, so the first question you want to ask yourself right now, you know, again, getting out of the charge of the moment is stepping back, getting into your higher self, and sometimes it's helpful to ask for your higher self to come forward, is, you know, where are you currently being inconsiderate or, what was the other word you used?
Annoying. Annoying, yeah.
Yeah, and look around. I mean, it could be someplace in your workplace. You know, maybe you're doing something to one of your coworkers that really drives them crazy.
Okay, well, I just got something now.
Okay.
Now, what it is...
Do you want to share it?
No, I can tell you. I don't mind. I play a sport, kind of an adult league sport, and I've been, I guess, too aggressive or annoying with some other people. But
okay.
I don't think it's horrendous, but that's all I can really think of.
Okay, well, if that's the first one that comes to mind, you know, and if it feels right for you, then the next thing you need to do is, okay, figure out what you want to do about it. So this, in this case, it's something that you're doing that annoys others, but you're getting that kind of manifesting the opposite. I would think, my sense is that there's probably a few layers to this one for you because of the way that you've, the number of times that you've manifested it.
Yeah, it's been going on for years, so I'm wondering if it's something in the past.
And it could be very much in the past, but I would start with your first one though, where it's in the present. And you are, you notice that you're maybe being too aggressive and the other players are getting uncomfortable or whatever it is for them.
Well, I'm a good player, and I guess I should have more patience with people who are beginning, is what it is. So,
now
I
you're
guess I'm annoying to other people. I mean, that's the way I would look at it.
Okay. So, is it something that you want to change, though, or is it something that you think, I'm asking you a trick question here.
Okay.
Is it something that you want to change, or is it something that you think others want, should others expect you to change?
I think I should change it.
Okay, good. Okay, so if you're in that mode, then, where you're accepting responsibility for this change, okay, that you see that, you know, clearly it's upsetting other people, it's not making maybe a comfortable relationship on your team, you know, the first thing you need to do is accept responsibility for that, which is, it sounds like what you're already kind of doing.
Yeah, it's just a game, is what I'm realizing. It's just a silly game, you know, and we're all adults, so, yeah. Yeah, I've actually been working on trying to just be nicer, yeah.
Yeah, and then the next thing is to just kind of allow all that stuff to pass through you, because maybe the next time you get with your teammates, they may, you know, kind of diss you or make comments or not want to, you know, maybe give you the cold shoulder or something because of the way you play. And when that happens, you may feel a little triggered at that point, and you just need to allow all that stuff to kind of go through you.
Okay.
Because you're shifting your vibration by releasing those energies, literally. And so as that happens... You know, you're gonna shift your vibration, because we're trying to get you out of the fear stuff and over to the love process, or at least higher up on the emotional scale, so that you're not gonna continue to attract that.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, and then, you know, the next part is really getting into appreciation for this experience, because what have they really taught you? Maybe they've taught you how to be a more well-balanced player by not being so aggressive. Maybe they're showing you that your ego is getting too involved in the play. Maybe they're, you know, whatever it is for you, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you can think about
it. You're pretty near the bullseye. Pretty near the bullseye. Now, what about the loud neighbors? I mean, you're saying they're teachers too?
Yeah, if it's all kind of part of that same thing, I would say for you, you probably got a few layers on that, and maybe the next question you want to go back, because if it keeps happening again, you know, whether it's the loud neighbors or whatever it is
right.
that triggers you about them, which you said was the annoyance and the inconsideration, then you got to go through the next step. You know, always start with that first question: is where am I, you know, being currently being inconsiderate or annoying? Okay,
uh-huh.
So you narrow down that one sports illustration.
Yeah, I narrowed it down to that.
And then the second question, if let's say that didn't trigger you, like you felt like you had cleared all that stuff out and, you know, you were working fine with the team and all that was good, but all this other stuff was still happening.
Okay.
And the next question you're going to ask yourself is, where have you done it in the past?
Like, where have I been loud and noisy or inconsiderate, basically?
No, we're looking kind of for the action piece. We're not looking for we're looking for the trigger piece, the emotional trigger piece,
okay.
not necessarily the action.
In the past, where have I been inconsiderate?
Yeah, where have you been inconsiderate in the past?
Yeah.
And then you may have a few things show up.
You know, I did, actually, because I did the work this week after I saw your seminar, and I got taken all the way back to elementary school because those were my bratty years, pretty bratty, you know, and I was shown that I did some bad things. So I'm hoping that was it, you know.
Yeah, and also you need to clear them out. Now, sometimes, you know, if you don't get the clearing right away, then it's probably really stuck, like someplace in your energy field or within your organs. A lot of times, when we're doing the clearing work, a lot of it we can clear out ourselves, you know, using that kind of a process. But sometimes we need to actually go to someone who works with energy who can go in and kind of release that stuff on a deeper level. You know, I always encourage people to do their own work first and then
uh-huh.
find someone who can help you maybe remove the remnants. Because some of it's just, it's almost like, you know, the weeds in your garden, right? You can pull up the weed, but if you don't get the root, then it's going to come back.
So are you saying a hypnotherapist or?
No, I'm talking more of an energy healer, although I have heard some folks who've worked with hypnotherapists to release some of that stuff. But I'm thinking more of like a pure energy healer who can go in and sense those stagnant emotions and find them and pull them out.
Okay, that sounds really good. So I want to keep working with this, and if it still is a problem, then next step, energy worker. I know that's what you do.
Yes.
Do you do that over the phone, or does it have to be in person?
Yeah, I can do it either way. Sometimes I prefer to work with people in person, for depending upon what's going on with them. But I do distance healing all the time. It's a very different way of working with people because, again, it all goes back to this whole principle that we're all energy, right?
Sure.
And it's just a matter of tapping into your body's energy in a different way.
Well, that's a good cue for you to give out your information, your contact info, anything you want to promote right now.
Sure. My contact information, I'll give you my phone number. It's probably the easiest way to connect with me. It's area code 928-776-9596. It's 928-776-9596. Or my email is also a good way, and that is spiritearth04@yahoo.com. And a number of different things that I'm working on, a series of workshops that I'm doing with a partner of mine, Pamela Smith. We are going to be traveling around the country doing a series of workshops on angels called One-to-One with Your Angels. We have one set up in Sedona next month at the Sedona Creative Living Center, which most people have heard of. A lot of the big names go there, like Greg Braden and Dorian Virtue, and, you know, all the. It's one of the bigger spots in Sedona. We're going to be doing a workshop there.
Great.
And a couple of things that I have available for people to get more information on it. One is a CD called 5 Ways to Get Back on Track, and in that CD, I actually go through that mirror process in a little bit more detail and help people to understand the significance of energies and how they're attracting people into their life and to change all that stuff. The other CD that I have out is called Discovering Your Inner Guidance, where I talk about the different intuitive processes that we have and give people pointers on how to develop those and what to look for as they're developing those connections.
Okay,
and what not to look for as well.
Yeah, now as far as mirrors and reflections, can you talk about like an opposite reflection? Like, could you be shown the opposite a lot to get you to understand what you're missing, or how would that work?
That comes up. It doesn't come up nearly as much as seeing it directly in you, but it does come up every once in a while. It's almost kind of like, you know, if they can't get it to you one way, they're going to get it to you another.
And how would that work?
Basically, you know, when you're working through that process, you know, there's a whole series of questions that you work through, and one of the last ones is, you know, does this situation that's being manifested, that's triggering you, is it something that's really the opposite? And I just had a recent experience with that with someone in a group that I'm in, and who comes in, and she's very, you know, to me, my first initial impression of her is she was very arrogant. She was very full of herself, and, you know, turned her talk, her 2 minute intro time into like an infomercial. And so, you know,
we all know that person.
Yeah, we do. And so my, you know, again, my initial reaction was kind of like, wow, you know, she's quite arrogant. She's really full of herself. She's coming from her ego. And then, you know, as I was processing it, because, you know, again, it's a reflection of me, right? What's it really saying about me? And, you know, I work very hard on staying out of my ego so I can allow spirit to work through me, because that's very important to me. And, you know, there's a difference between the being confident in what you do and then being, you know, arrogant and boisterous about it. And so as I processed that and I was working on a new script for another CD, it occurred to me that what she was really showing me was the opposite of what I do, because, you know, what I knew is that, you know, my healing gifts, my spiritual gifts, I'm sure are just as strong as what hers are, but yet I don't tout myself as much as I should. You know,
oh.
I don't do the infomercial kind of thing. And so really what she was offering me was, you know, a gift of being more aware of how I should promote myself even more.
So the bottom line is it pushed a button in you.
It pushed a button in me, yes, because, you know, I went into that whole thing about the ego. You know, it's like, wow, she's really in her ego.
Yeah.
And so that was my trigger point, because, you know, and again, because we are manifesting all these things, we're creating all these people that come into our lives, you know, it was, I had to take a look and see what she was really mirroring to me. And I didn't feel like I was being arrogant or ego-based. And so it was really just, again, it was just the opposite. It was like, well, maybe what she's really showing me is how I should be promoting myself more, you know, how I should be really honoring my own gifts more and expressing them to others, so that, because I can't help people unless I express my own gifts. You know, if I just kind of sit in the background and not really announce what I do and who I am, then I'm not really being fully of service, because there are people who won't know about what I do.
Yeah, it's really important to get the word out. So it's interesting, probably at this same group, there were people who you didn't even notice. I mean, there was nothing in these other people that pushed a button, you know, but this one person did.
Right, right.
So,
but we had one other person, too.
Okay. So I guess just as we go through life, our antenna should be up as to what's, you know, making us react emotionally.
Yes, and I would, and you can, it can be on a positive side too. I mean, we can get positively triggered, but, you know, usually we don't really think of that much, you know, and most of our focus really in terms of our clearing work needs to be done on the things that trigger us in, you know, in quote unquote a negative manner, something that puts us off, you know, sets us off a little bit.
Okay, now let's get into negative self-talk. What if you have kind of like this dialogue or this person in your head? It has like this running monologue like all throughout the day. Like, well, this could possibly happen, and this could be terrible, or you could fall off that cliff. You know, how do you work with that?
I think, you know, with that thing, the first part of trying to recognize that negative self-talk is to do exactly that, is to recognize it. And to get to that point, you really need to put yourself, again, into that observational mindset. And that's really where you kind of step back and you leave your ego behind, get into that place of allowing that information to come. I usually, you know, ask for my higher self to come forward, and then you just watch. And as you're kind of going through your day and you make those comments, you need to stop yourself at that point. You know, if you say something like, why does this always happen, or I can never do this, and as soon as you hear those words come out of your mouth, because usually people have a set one or a set pattern of things that they say again and again, you know, whether it's like, why can't I make any money? I mean, that could be one as well. And as soon as you hear yourself say that, what you need to do is stop yourself. And I usually like to throw in like this interjection of delete. You stop yourself, you say delete with intention, which basically tells your mind that it's going to erase that thought.
Yeah,
and
careful.
Then you put in the new phrase that you want.
Oh.
So like, you know, if it says, why can't I ever do this? And you would say delete, and then I can do this, or whatever it is that you want to put in and replace it with. And you have to catch yourself a lot because, you know, again, you know, all these things we've done to ourselves for, you know, decades, if not longer, and it takes a while. We have to kind of be on track and catch ourselves. And if you're working with somebody else, like if you have a friend who's also on a spiritual track and you're trying to do some work, it's really great to kind of partner with them, because then, you know, it's always easier to see stuff in someone else as it is in yourself. And then you can get that kind of instant feedback. Now, you want to do it with someone who is, you know, mutually supportive, of course, and not someone who's trying to rain on your parade. But that's a nice way to be able to kind of catch yourself or learn to catch yourself, is to have a friend help you with that, and you help them.
But a simple word like delete or cancel. Just
yeah, delete or cancel. Someone, you know, somebody else uses stop, you know. And it, what it does is it just kind of like, it changes your neurological pathways. It kind of, you know, we have all these neurological pathways based upon our beliefs, and, you know, our minds just go to a certain thing. And in that case, it's the pattern of that belief. Well, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. And what the stop does is it just forces your brain on a physiological level to kind of like, okay, we're not going there this time. And then it helps you rewire, because you're being consciously aware of this somewhat unconscious pattern that you have. You're making that unconscious pattern conscious, and then you're changing it through even more direct in interaction with that phrase.
Okay, cool. I wanted to ask you a little bit about driving, because I think it's kind of a metaphor for life when we're all driving in our cars. And what I've been getting lately, and I think some people get this, is hitting a lot of red lights. And not only are they red lights, but they turn yellow and red just at the point where you really can't cross the intersection. You have to stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And you have to wait the longest for the green light to start again.
And again, you know, it's symbolic. The cars are symbolic of how we want to get to our destination. And a lot of times, if you are using kind of like even this mirror metaphor, in that case, you would ask yourself, well, where are you stopping yourself, would be the first question. Where are you currently stopping yourself in your own life? And then think about ways that maybe you're sabotaging yourself, or maybe putting yourself into situations that aren't really going to foster your growth.
Okay.
And, you know, another symbology with the cars is like, if you're losing your rear brakes, you know, where do you feel like you're out of control?
Oh.
That kind of stuff. Any of those car kind of things is related to, you know, your journey, your path.
Like flat tire.
Yeah, and like your house is related to your ID, your personal identification, the way you identify with yourself, also your security often. So if something's going on with your house, if like your house is a wreck and a mess, then, you know, what do you need to clean up in your own life to move forward, that kind of stuff.
Or like if the basement has maybe a plumbing issue, maybe that could represent your subconscious or something. Or
yeah, it could represent that. And a lot of this stuff is, you kind of have to fish around, because it is symbolic. And then when you get into that, you know, again, that observational mindset, and kind of step back out of your ego and really look at things in an honest way, then you usually will get the answer. And if it doesn't come to you right away, then, you know, what I often do, I'll just turn it over to my higher self, or my, you know, the higher consciousness, God, whatever you want to do, whoever you turn to for guidance, and then it'll come to you at the right time. You'll get the answer. And just trust that that will happen, because you will get the answer.
Okay, and then, of course, like a health problem, like a broken finger or, you know, whatever, there's going to be some reason underlying. It's trying to tell you something.
Yeah, and the body is almost too complex to get into, and there's multiple levels with that. As a healer, what I can tell you is that a lot of these things that happen to us on an emotional level often will manifest on a physical level. My personal belief is that pretty much anything that manifests on a physical level is because of these unhealed emotional issues that people haven't taken care of, whether it's breaking a finger or not. Because again, you're drawing that reality into your awareness. You're drawing that situation that creates you breaking the finger into your awareness. So how do you attract that into your life?
Okay.
What is it on an energetic basis that's bringing that situation into your life?
I see. So we're winding down here. I want to ask you a few more questions. You strike me as a very high energy person, and whenever I encounter someone like you, I always ask, like, how do you get from low energy to high energy? Like, how do you do that and keep it?
Well, you know, in reality, it's by working with these processes, and it's clearing out your stuff. It really is clearing out your stuff, because, again, my belief system is that, you know, we've all been conditioned and programmed to hang out on that fear side, and we get doses of that all day at work, we get doses of that all day or all night on the TV, and, you know, everything that we're experiencing, and, you know, that just saps the life out of you. Plus, we are trained to be judgmental of everybody. You know, certainly the Bible is filled with judgment.
Uh-huh.
And in reality, there's nothing to really be judgmental about. If we really understand that we create everything, and absolutely everything is perfect, there is no good, there is no bad, that everything is just what needs to be, you can get yourself out of that place of judgment and just moving yourself up that kind of emotional scale, or as Abraham Hicks talks about, the emotional guidance system, it shifts your vibration so that, you know, your energy level is up. So, I mean, if you just think about people who are depressed, I mean, what are the physical symptoms of depression, right? You people who just can't get out of bed, and they're, if you look at them, they've got their head down and their shoulders slumped forward, and they're just, you know, they just can't get any energy.
Right.
And then if you think about people who are on the other end of things, who are happy and stuff, I mean, they're out there, they're exuberant, they're, you know, standing tall, they're moving forward, and they're just at a very different place. And so really what it is working with these processes and clearing out all these old emotional systems, all these limiting beliefs that we've developed subconsciously and consciously, and learning to release them. And then, you know, if we can't do it on our own, it's, you know, working with others who can help us get through them. And there's, you know, there's work to it. You know, it's not as big of a deal as most people try to make out. I mean, you can do a little bit every day.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I love Tony Robbins. You know, he's a motivational guy.
So positive,
years and years
yeah.
ago, I went to one of his seminars. And what he said, you know, if you could just be, you know, 1% better today than you were yesterday, in 3 months you'd be 100% better than you were.
Not bad.
So, and it's really that kind of thing. I mean, sometimes we just look at this stuff as like so overwhelming, we don't even want to work on it. But it's really just, you know, start working with those questions in the mirror. Start taking a look at where you're being judgmental, because the judgment stuff really depletes your energy, because you're focusing all your attention on the negative.
Yeah.
Instead
yeah,
of
everyone's
positive,
on their own path anyway. So.
Yeah.
Who are
so
we
you
to,
know
who
why
we
bother?
Why exactly? And I thought I'd close with kind of a fun question. Why don't you tell me about Sedona and your experiences with the vortexes?
Well, Sedona is a very special place. Clearly, it's been a spiritual mecca for a long, long time. People have had amazing experiences there. And they, of course, the claim to fame for Sedona is that it has a number of different vortexes all over. And, you know, in terms of what a vortex is, I don't know if there's any one pat answer, but I kind of like the one that my friend gave me years ago, which was it's a place where the other realms and Earth connect.
Uh-huh.
So it's a place of, you know, like energy where you can tap into the other realms a little quicker. And the vortices, you know, I think part of it is, you know, the reason why people can feel so much of the energy because of the red rocks have a high iron content. And, of course, you know, the Earth's field is electromagnetic. We have this electromagnetic field around it. So if you have a place that has a huge amount of iron content like Sedona, then the energies are probably going to be more, you know, this is my scientific thinking anyways, are going to be more manifest. And in different locations in the area, you're going to feel these specific vortices, like they have the one in the airport and Cathedral Rock and different locations. And they are very powerful experiences. If you are sensitive to energy at all, then you can feel them for sure.
Okay, and you've mentioned Prescott is becoming a metaphysical community too?
Yeah, I think for me, you know, I was guided away from Sedona, and I understand why now. And I think a lot of Sedona is kind of lost some of its spiritual essence to commercialization. I mean, if you've ever been through there, you know, it's all tourist Jeep rentals. It's, you know, Jeep tours and this and that and all these shops that are, you know, trying to sell you bumper stickers with vortices on it. And I think that, you know, some of the sacredness of the energy has kind of been diminished by that. And what I was really surprised about is, you know, as I was mentioning how I got guided to Prescott, here it's been an amazing, amazing community. Even this little cowboy town that I live in, we have a huge organization of 45-plus holistic healers, and that we have another 30 people who are practitioners on our friends list. And we only have, like, a population of about 40,000 people here.
A lot.
And, yeah, it's really a lot. And what's really fascinating is that we all work really, really well together. We're all very supportive of each other. And my experience when I was first checking out Sedona, it wasn't like that at all. It was very kind of clicky, and people didn't really want me to come into their area. And so, you know, it's just a different feel. And it's, I think, you know, I think Prescott overall is a very healing place as well. We have the mountains. We have these beautiful rock formations called the Granite Dells. We have a couple lakes here and, of course, the forests. And it's just, it's a very healing place in and of its own.
So people can definitely check out both because they're pretty close to each other in central northern Arizona. We're all out of time, so give us the contact info one last time, Sandra.
Sure. My phone number is 928-776-9596. It's 928-776-9596. Or you can send me an email at spiritearth04@yahoo.com.
And I appreciate you joining Odyssey. Thanks a lot, Sandra. Have a good night.
Thank you, Mike.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.